Now it's my duty and pleasure to call up Brother Peter as he gives us those necessary words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. Could you come with me to our third reading for today, which we had read a few moments ago, that of Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, in the last few verses, we read these words. In verse 36, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." And so we see here that there is this contention, this dispute caused between Paul and Barnabas because of John Mark. And for our exhortation this morning, I'd like to consider this character of John Mark and see what exhortations we can glean from his life for ourselves. Because I think hopefully as we look at our exhortation this morning, we'll see that this John Mark was a young individual in the truth who was a faithful example to those around, but who, like us, had faults in his life. And so I'd like to have a look at his life this morning for our exhortation. So if you can come back with me to just a few chapters to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and this is the first occasion where we see John Mark recorded for us in the account of the Acts of the Apostles. And in Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, read, "The word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So Barnabas and Paul, or Saul as he's called here, are going to go on their ministry journeys. They're going to go and preach the gospel to various cities throughout the then known world. And out of that ecclesia at Jerusalem, they decide to take with them John Mark. John is the one who they choose to go with them. And surely that says a lot about his character, doesn't it? If the apostles were looking to go out on a ministry journey, he was the one who they decided to take with them. And could that be said of us, brethren and sisters? Could we say that we are an individual who people choose or come to take with them to the work, whatever work that might be, whether that be preaching or helping our brethren and sisters, teaching, looking after the sick, whatever it might be? Are we the individual, are we a person who comes to mind to our brethren and sisters to help them in their work of the truth? And then we come down to Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, as they leave Antioch, "They being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister." So here John is called a minister. John is ministering to Paul and Barnabas. He's helping them on their work. And the word minister literally means there to aid another in any work. He was aiding, he was helping his brethren and sisters as they preached the gospel, as they went around the then known world. And just come back with me to John chapter 18. Because we are called to be ministers, aren't we, to one another. We are called to help our brethren and sisters on our walk to God's kingdom, to minister to each other, to help and assist one another in whatever way we can. But the idea of being a minister, of being a minister for the Lord, has a greater meaning as well. So John chapter 18 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ in his trial shortly before his death. Verse 35, Pilate says to him, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests has delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And then verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And the word servants there is the same word we see as ministers in Acts. But if he were of this world, his servants would fight. So those who are ministering for the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are his servants, would fight for him. They would be willing to die and to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, to fight and to die as a result. That is a commitment of someone who is a minister or a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the attitude which we have to have and which we have to develop in our lives. To be willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in difficult circumstances. To stand up and to admit that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. That we serve him and are willing to stand up and say so. And then come with me again back to Acts, and this time Acts chapter 26. Because we have an example of someone who was called to be a minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called to be a minister in the faith. Acts chapter 26 verse 12. Start from verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to King Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. He says he used to punish those who served the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" So he's accounting to that occasion when he was converted on that way in the way to Damascus. And then verse 15, "I said, 'Who art thou?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.'" So we have an example of the Apostle Paul. He was called to be a minister and a witness. The two things went hand in hand. He was to be a minister minister and a witness both in the things which he had seen and those things in the which I'll appear unto thee. He was to be a minister in the faith. And we only have to think of the things that Paul suffered and the things which he fulfilled in his ministry journeys. How he preached to those of who would listen, to those around. How he suffered many things. He helped the brethren and sisters in their different circumstances. And how he suffered many things as a result of serving the Lord Jesus. And for not being willing to stand aside from that service, but continually serving the Lord Jesus and being a minister to him. And of course, we know that we have that example, don't we, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also was a minister and who ministered to his disciples. Come back with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and again, I'm sure most of us know this passage well. But John chapter 13 and verse 2. "Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." So even the Lord Jesus Christ, he ministered to his disciples, didn't he? And then if we come down to verse 15 where he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Sorry, reading from verse 13. You call me master and lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. That's the example which the Lord Jesus Christ left us. In the way in which we should be ministering one to another. The way in which we should be helping one another. Willing to do even what we might class as the most menial of tasks. To help and to comfort one another. To assist one another on our walk towards God's kingdom. Because we all have difficulties, don't we, brethren and sisters? In our walk towards God's kingdom, in our walk in the truth. We all have difficulties of one sort or another, don't we? And they might be vastly different for each of us. But whatever difficulties we have, whatever difficulties we might encounter in our lives, we have to help one another to overcome those difficulties. We have to be there for our brethren and sisters, assisting and helping, comforting, encouraging one another, so that together we can help each other to walk towards God's kingdom. So that through God's grace, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we all may be able to have a part in that kingdom. And so we have that example of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister. But of course, it's not just physical acts, is it? Come back with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 10. Because we are called, as John Mark was called, as Paul was called, to be ministers. But there was another group of individuals who were called to be ministers and to minister to their brethren and sisters back in the Old Testament. And that group is that of the Levites. And so if we come back to Deuteronomy 10, and just look at a couple of verses from verse 8. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, we read, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore the Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. So the Levites were selected to, in verse 8, we're told they were selected to minister unto the Lord and to bless his name. And of course, we know what the role of the Levites was, don't we? Not only did they minister to the Lord, but they ministered to their brethren and sisters. They were to be the teachers, the instructors within the nation of Israel, weren't they? And so we have a duty as ministers, as being called to help one another, to help one another, not just in the physical tasks of life, if you will, not just in the comfort of difficulties, but to minister to one another in the Word of God, to teach and to encourage one another from God's Word. That's where our comfort comes from, isn't it? And so we have to follow their example of being ministers. And so we know we are called to be ministers. We've just finally come back to 1 Peter chapter 4, just a final passage in these few for this point. So 1 Peter and chapter 4. Verse 7, the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers. Verse 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if we were in any doubt, we are to be ministers one to another, verse 10 tells us. And verse 8, we are to show that fervent love, or that agape love, one to another. That self-sacrificial love, being willing to help and to help one another in whatever circumstances. And to show hospitality without grudging. That's what we are called to do, just like the examples of the Levites, of the Apostle Paul and of John Mark. So come back with me, if you will, just to Acts chapter 13. That's what John Mark had been called to do. He had been called to be a minister, to help and to encourage Paul and Barnabas on their work, to help them to preach and to spread that gospel message and to encourage the early brethren and sisters. But it wasn't long after these things in Acts chapter 13 that we see that Barnabas departed from them and he went back to Jerusalem. And this is recorded for us in Acts 13 and verse 13. And we read just now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So John had been called to this work, and he departed from them. And we know that if we come to our reading for today, that's what caused that contention between Paul and Barnabas. That's what caused that disagreement that we read of in Acts chapter 15. And so, of course, there's the exhortation for us, isn't there? John Mark had been called to that work to be a minister and had left it. And as a result, if we come back to Acts chapter 15 and verse 38, we see that Paul thought not good to take him with them. Paul did not think that, as the words mean, that John Mark was worthy or fit to go with them to this next ministry journey. Keep a marker in Acts 15 and come back with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, and we read just a few verses of this parable, which the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to his disciples. And Luke chapter 9, verse 57, it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's what John Mark had done. That's what had done, isn't it? He like us in verse 57, had committed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever thou goest. He had committed to that work. And we have committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? We have committed to being ministers. And on the day of our baptism, we committed our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that is to minister to him and to our brethren and sisters. We have made that commitment. And verse 62, we have that warning that no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once we have made that commitment, we cannot look back. We cannot renegade on that commitment. We've got to follow that commitment through, haven't we, brothers and sisters? There is no get-out clause. Once we have made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father, and so we have to follow through on that commitment. We have to continue in that work in whatever situation and circumstances we might find ourselves in. We have to continue on that journey, no matter the difficulties we might encounter. But we have our brethren and sisters to help and to encourage one another, and we should be doing the same for them, so that together we can continue on that journey. And of course, we could just come back if you will, to Acts chapter 15. So we have that exhortation that we should continue on that journey. And John Mark, he did not want to continue on that journey, did he? But he had left them in Acts chapter 13 when the way got when the way got difficult, maybe. He had left them, and as a result, it caused a contention between Paul and Barnabas. And of course, we know the exhortation from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, don't we, that we should cause no one to offend in any way. We should not cause disputes or offence or contention between our brethren and sisters. We have to be careful about what our actions, what consequences our actions have, don't we? We have to ensure that the actions which we take in our life, on our walk to God's kingdom, do not cause our brethren and sisters to have disputes, to have arguments with ourselves or each other, or to cause offence. And so we have John Mark here in Acts chapter 15, having been called to be a minister, to help and to encourage, to minister to his brethren and sisters, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his God. And he had chosen to not continue on that work, and as a result he had caused this contention. But come forward with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Because we come to 2 Timothy in chapter 4, toward the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and we once again come across John Mark. We haven't encountered him since the Acts, but once again we come across him, and there's lovely exhortations here for us in our lives as we strive to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Timothy and chapter 4 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul, toward the end of his life, saying to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So here, at the end of his life, toward the end of the Apostle Paul's life, Paul asks Timothy to bring Mark, to bring John Mark to him, because he is profitable to him for the ministry. He wanted him to help him once again in that ministering work which he was doing. He wanted him once again. He was selecting John Mark, as he had done previously, selecting him out of that Jerusalem ecclesia to go with him on that journey. Once again, he wants John Mark. He is profitable to him for that ministry, to help and encourage him and the brethren and sisters. And the word profitable here literally means easily used or meet for use. It's only used three times in Scripture. And so I had to come back a couple of chapters to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it's used once again in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Because here we see how John Mark was profitable to Paul and how we should be in our lives and the exhortations for us. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. We read, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," and these are from verse 16, he's been talking about the things of the flesh. If you throw away the things of the flesh, purge yourself from things which are going to corrupt us on our journey. Then verse 21, "He shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And the same word here is used when it says meet for the master's use. That was a character of John Mark at this time. He was meet for the master's use. He was easy to be used by his brethren and sisters and by the Lord Jesus Christ for the ministry. He was easy to be used. And brethren and sisters, when we think about our lives, are we easy for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our Heavenly Father, to use in the truth, in the ecclesia? Are we an easy person to get on with for our brethren and sisters? Are we someone who our brethren and sisters could come to for assistance, for help in their difficulties, on their journey to God's kingdom? Are we someone who is profitable for the ecclesia? Or are we someone who might cause contentions, might cause difficulties, might cause strife within the ecclesia? Because we have to be profitable, don't we? We have to be someone who is meet for the master's use. Someone who's prepared unto every good word, every good work, as verse 21 tells us. Because of course, ultimately, brothers and sisters, we want to be meet for the master's use, don't we? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we want at that judgment seat for him to see in us something which he can use in that kingdom age. Something which he can use to praise and to glorify our Heavenly Father for that eternal age in God's kingdom. And so we have to develop ourselves to be prepared for the master's use. And when we look at this verse 21, we see that we should be a vessel unto honour. And we won't go there now, but the same word is used in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, where it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you therefore which believe, he is precious." That's the same word, that precious. We have to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was that precious cornerstone, and we have to follow that example, don't we, in our lives. And verse 21 says we have to be sanctified. We have to be separate, be holy, as the Levites were called to be a separate people to minister to God. We have to separate ourselves from the world around us, to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ, to minister to our brethren and sisters. And we have to be ready for that work and meet for the master's use. We have to be profitable to our Heavenly Father. So could you just come with me finally, if you will, to Romans and chapter 12. Because how do we become meat for the master's use? How do we present ourselves as something which the Lord Jesus Christ can see is profitable, is usable in that kingdom age, and even in our time now, usable for our brethren and sisters to help and encourage one another? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul exhorts us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Again, our whole lives have to be given over, don't they, to our Heavenly Father, for his work, to his ministry. It's a life's work, isn't it? It's not something that, as we said before, we can just put off. It's not something which we can just choose to do every now and again. But it's presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, our entire being as a sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. We have to give our lives to our God in the ministry to him, so that we can be separate and be acceptable unto God. And of course, this morning we come to think of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And we see that perfect example. He did everything. He did always those things which pleased his Heavenly Father. He was truly that perfect example, that perfect living sacrifice. He sacrificed him. He gave his own life for us as a sacrifice for our sins. And he was acceptable to God, wasn't he? He was profitable in every sense of the word. And we have to strive, brothers and sisters, to follow that example, to try and be profitable to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father, to our brethren and sisters, to help and encourage one another on our walk to God's kingdom. To follow that example, to be meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And so as we come to partake of the emblems now, let us remember that example of the Lord Jesus Christ and strive to follow that example of him and of those faithful men and women which we have recorded in our Bibles, of those who served their Heavenly Father, who ministered to him in their life, whatever difficulties and circumstances they found themselves in, and who ministered to one another, helping their brethren and sisters who might have difficulties also, so that together we might follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day when he returns, hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."